Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over the day that was in the NFL, look ahead to Monday Night Football. I'm going to get his thoughts on this Emmanuel Clase situation from the Cleveland Guardians, which I'm not sure if people saw, but the former, wasn't Cy Young runner-up, but third place in Cy Young just a year ago, caught up in this rigging these prop markets similar to Rozier and these NBA guys, and some of this detail started to come out on Sunday here, so I want to get Gil's thoughts on that. Really fascinating story, bizarre story, but it's an NFL day. We'll start with football here. Recording this is the Steelers and Chargers are taking place right now. That's a big game, really, for both teams in the big picture of the AFC, but I want to start with the NFC. And one of the big takeaways was sitting there watching the 4 o'clock Eastern games, the late window, and it's always... Boy, it's always dicey when it's a 4 o'clock window and there's only three games. You run the risk that, you know, maybe you're lucky if you get one. Very rarely are all three good. It turned out basically all three were pretty lopsided. And man, the Lions, the Seahawks, and the Rams, about as dominant as you could be. 44 points, 44 points, and 46 points. Throw those three teams in divisional weekend, and one of these two teams that's about to play Monday night, the Eagles and the Packers, we'll say the Eagles just because they are the defending champs, been to two out of the last three Super Bowls. If you have an Eagles, Rams, Lions, Seahawks divisional round, that will be the ultimate steel cage match. I mean, just sign me up for that right now. Those three teams look so impressive. And I don't want to say those three are above everybody else in the NFC, because I'm sure if you're an Eagle fan, you say, wait a second, we can't beat Sam Darnold. We won the Super Bowl last year. We beat the Rams already. We can't beat Darnold. We can't beat Goff, especially if we could ever get Goff outdoors. All fair. And if you're Green Bay, you're saying we beat the Lions by, you know, a million points week one. But they have not looked as impressive since. I think it's the three teams we saw in the late window today putting their stamp on, you know, being above the rest. Now, it's two teams for one spot in the NFC West, and one of those teams is going to be playing on the road between the Rams and the Seahawks wild card weekend, similar to Vikings-Lions last year where we were looking at 14-2. One of them's going to be 15-2. Well, that 14-3 Viking team had to play on the road in week one against the Rams, coincidentally. And we know how that went. They lost. So one of those teams, the Rams or the Seahawks, you're going to have a really damn good team playing on the road week one in the playoffs. But I think we know six of the seven teams, the three I mentioned, Rams, Seahawks, Lions, all dominant in that late window on Sunday. The two teams playing Monday night, Packers and Eagles, makes five. The Bucs probably still win that division, even though they've come back down to earth. I never bought this Baker Mayfield for MVP. And look, I've been wrong about plenty this season, as we know. Week to week, game to game, the record has not been great. But, you know, big picture things, I feel like I've had a feel for Tampa just not being legitimate. But I still think, you know, you get to 9-8 somehow, you win that division. That will be the case with them. But that they'll be the division winner. That's six. That means the seventh spot goes to, I mean, you tell me, the Bears. Minnesota now 4-5. McCarthy has not looked great, to say the least. 49ers, I guess, would probably be the front runner for that spot. I wouldn't put the Cowboys in the mix. The Commanders are dead. Those are really, I would say the 49ers are the front runner, and then outside shot Minnesota, outside shot the Bears, and then whoever else, we'll see how it breaks. But I think we know pretty comfortably six of the seven teams and just dominant performances from those big three. Sunday afternoon in the AFC, boy, the Bills have one of these. It seems like every year, every other year. I remember I was doing the Bet Rivers podcast, so it had to be 2021. It was right when I first started doing it. It might have been like the first week or two I was doing it, early November. They had a game where they were monster favorites against the Jags, and they lost 9-6, and they couldn't score, and it was just like the most inexplicable result. We had a similar one on Sunday where they not only loses, I think it closed 8.5, 9. I saw some 10s over the weekend, but mostly 8.5, 9. Big favorite, never in the game against Miami, and getting shut out into the fourth quarter. You're thinking, all right, you lose to Miami. Okay, Tua can have a day. You could turn it over. To not have any points offensively, just very bizarre performance, especially coming off the heels of a week where they dominated, but won pretty comfortably against the Chiefs last Sunday. So that's just typical NFL. It's hard to figure. That did shake up the awards, the MVP, which Allen was like even money. I don't want to say he got the odds on, but I'm sure at some books right around there, he got there at some point. He's now 7-1 at DraftKings to win MVP. If you're ever going to jump in, it's hard to win it back-to-back years. I wouldn't recommend to bet on him, but that is, look, a lot of this is not just who you bet, it's when you bet it. And we had Kev O'Neill on a couple weeks ago. He recommended Stafford at 10-1, 11-1. He's down to 3-1. So that looks like a good bet. May is now the short shot at +275. I still don't buy Jonathan Taylor at plus 650. Mahomes at 5-1 is going to be in the mix, but you know, we talked about it last week. As ugly as it was for Denver on Thursday night, and my goodness, that our eyes are all still recovering from that game against the Raiders. Denver is home for the Chiefs this coming Sunday, the 16th. The Broncos ever win that game? They're 9-2. The Chiefs are 5-5. It's very hard to get the MVP from a 5-5 team, especially, you know, I know it's Mahomes, but he's won before. I think that works against him. So I don't see a great bet here. Donald at 10-1. I could understand just because the team success is there, and boy, they look like a machine. I know a lot of that was defensive related today. So if I had to bet right now, like who's actually going to win it, I don't think Stafford is worth a bet, but I think Stafford with the lifetime achievement kind of deal where never won an MVP. I don't think he's come relatively close to winning an MVP. None of those Detroit teams were good. He hasn't really been in the mix since he's been on the Rams, even though his Rams teams have been pretty good for the most part. Everyone likes him. Good story. Never won. Stats are unbelievable. I think Stafford's got a very good chance. Do you want to bet that at 3-1? Probably not, just with how fluid these things are and how quickly these things can change. Plus, they're no lock to win the division. So do you want to, is it worth it at 3-1? Probably not. You know, again, it's more of a, it's just as much when you bet it as opposed to who you bet. Like if you bet Stafford a few weeks ago at 10-1, now you pick off Allen at 7-1 and you just keep getting good numbers. That's a good way to play it. That's a good way to create some value in a situation where you know, you feel pretty good about what you have. I don't buy May at plus 275. I certainly don't buy betting May at that price. They got a shot at the one seed. Their schedule is super easy. So, I mean, he's got to have shortish odds, but I just don't see any value there at plus 275. I don't really see any value. If you gave me, you just did the exercise, hey, here's $100 free bet. Who would you bet? I'd probably go Darnold at 10-1. I'd be tempted by Stafford at 3-1 just because I do think he's very live and the narrative is there. But the number is short. I guess I'd go Darnold at 10-1. Boy, wouldn't it be typical Minnesota Vikings if you pick up a guy at quarterback, you strike gold, he leads you to this great season, it doesn't end well, and then he goes somewhere else and he's the league MVP and still in his prime. Boy, that would sting if you're Minnesota. I think Darnold's very live at 10-1. I don't see a great bet here. Lamar's too far back at 25-1. Herbert at 25-1. Those guys probably aren't winning it. Baker's down to 25-1. Hurts at 22-1. I know he doesn't have the traditional stats. That's not a terrible bet. You know, as I talk this through, I don't see a great bet. But doing that exercise, if you have to pick somebody, you have to pick somebody given the odds here, I'd probably just go Darnold at 10-1 and not feel great about it. Although I do think Stafford's in pretty good shape here to you know, if he continues this to be in the mix here to win his first MVP. So those are the takeaways from today. The NFC team's looking dominant. The Bills with a clunker. How about Jacksonville? Up 19 in the fourth quarter. I mean, this is why you can't take Jacksonville seriously. Not that I take them seriously or anyone really does in terms of being a title team. It's just people that defend Lawrence or people that look at the Jags as a threat in the playoffs. And that makes that division a little more interesting. With the Colts winning, the Texans and Jags kind of beating each other up, it's going to make the Colts, I don't want to say the division more interesting, but it's going to make it, at least for a wild card scenario here, I wouldn't put the Texans really in the mix here. 11-1, Jags plus 650. I think that really, more than anything, solidifies Indy as a legitimate favorite to win that division. They are minus 500 now in the AFC South. Patriots minus 240 in the AFC East, so that's a big shakeup there. Where people were betting the Bills minus 300, minus big numbers, and just throwing them into their parlays, thinking it's basically free money. Bucks minus 1,200. NFC West, Rams are minus 110. Seahawks are plus 120. So a lot of these divisions are pretty clear cut in terms of, all right, this team is a clear favorite. This division is down to two divisions. And I think like in the NFC, it's pretty clear here, the playoff picture. As far as this game Monday night, it's a good one. Packers and Eagles, little hostility. Packers tried to get the tush push banned. Packers lost in Philly to the Eagles last year in the playoffs. Love was bad in the game. That was one where they fumbled the opening kickoff, and I don't know how they gave the ball to Philly. It was very controversial how they gave the ball to Philly, and Green Bay just got undone by turnovers. Actually played pretty well defensively, just couldn't get enough going offensively, and Philly went on to win that game. And as we know, win three more and win the whole thing. So should be a fun one. I like the Packers to get the first down and to win the first quarter minus 125. They haven't taken the ball every time. They've gotten away from that a little bit. Against the Browns, they deferred. Against the Cardinals, they deferred. But, and actually last week when they played Carolina won the toss, and Carolina said, no, we're going to take the ball. So Green Bay starting on offense has not been a given, but still, Philly has deferred every time. Green Bay, let's just say half the time they take the ball. So if that's the case, if it's 50-50, Green Bay wins the toss, whether they take it or they kick. And Philly, if they win the toss, it's basically, you know, nothing's 100%, but you get the idea that they're pretty much going to kick if they win the toss. And you say it's like a 75% call that Green Bay starts with the ball. I think those are good bets. So Green Bay to get the first downs -125. Green Bay money line in the first quarter is -125. Don't get involved in that half a point. So just Green Bay to win the first quarter. Green Bay to get the first down. I don't have a great feel for the game. I do think Philly's a better team, but I do think Green Bay will bounce back after just a hideous performance last week against Carolina. It would be typical NFL where, oh, they look horrible. They lose at home to the Panthers, and the Panthers turn around and lose at home to the Saints. It would be typical NFL if they turn around and play a pretty good game and you'll beat the Eagles 24-21 or something. I think it'll be close. Eagles at 1.5 is an obvious teaser leg if you want to link that with something ahead to next week. I think that makes some sense. But Green Bay first down, Green Bay to score first, I think are bets for me going forward here. Games next week, as we look ahead, Patriots, Jets Thursday night. Boy, these primetime standalone games. Dolphins and Commanders Sunday morning in Germany. No thank you. Packers and Giants. Oh, that's another situation from today that was worth monitoring. Dart, who played well, got a couple rushing touchdowns, made some good throws. He leaves with a concussion. He doesn't return. We'll see how long he is out now. That obviously affects Rookie of the Year, as I think he was on his way to solidifying himself with the way he was playing to being a pretty sizable favorite. Now he misses part of this game, maybe misses a game going forward. The Giants aren't going to win that many games to begin with. That really makes Rookie of the Year interesting here for people that have Dart tickets, and I know I've given that out on this podcast before, and people are rooting for that. So no odds on that up yet. Abuka, Tampa's cooled off, so that hurts Abuka, but he's played really well and he scored again today. So that is, that will be, I think, reflected in the market next time we see that. These books, anytime there's an injury, they're going to be hesitant to post stuff and leave stuff up. But Dart getting hurt is going to affect the Rookie of the Year. Falcons and Panthers, have fun with that one. Bucks Bills is a fun game. Bills looking to bounce back. Bucks haven't played great recently here, so Bills laying 5.5 against Tampa. Houston and Tennessee, who cares? Minnesota and Chicago, I guess, means something for the wild card. Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, okay, decent game. Rams, Seahawks, that's the game of the week. Rams are laying 2.5 home against Seattle. That will be a fun one. That will be interesting to see where the market goes. You know, the Rams' home field is not worth 2.5, so the market is saying the Rams are better than the Seahawks. I'm not so sure. I think if anything, I don't think we'll get threes there. I think if anything, this will get bet down. If nothing else, Seattle is a pretty good teaser leg up to +8.5. Remember, though, the Rams is that's where Darnold came undone. Part of his ungluing last year was in the playoffs against the Rams, where he was just a disaster, kept getting sacked. We'll see if the Rams have some sort of book on him. So keep that in mind if you're going to fire on Seattle. The Rams really did a number on Darnold, not only in the playoffs, but they beat Darnold in the regular season where Minnesota only lost 3 games. The Rams got him twice last year, so maybe they have something in terms of that matchup. The other big one, Chiefs laying 3.5 against Denver. Mentioned it, Denver, as bad as it looked for them, and as much as we give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt, and rightfully so, Kansas City has to go into Denver and win. Otherwise, Denver's 9-2 and Kansas City, or in Kansas City's 5-5, and that's going to be a tall hill to climb. Ravens-Browns next week. Ravens getting back on track. I think they're in good shape here to get back in the mix and win the North. And then Lions-Eagles Sunday night. So we got two really good ones. I mentioned how these NFC teams kind of separate themselves. Not impossible. This is a preview of the divisional round. Lions and Eagles, Seahawks and Rams. It's very possible we're sitting here in the middle of January talking about these two games, these two matchups, these four teams that we're seeing coming up this week, that we're seeing them in the divisional round. I think that's very possible. You never know how the seeding is going to break, things like that. But Eagles laying 1.5 right now to the Lions. That's the Sunday night game. And then Monday night, Raiders and Cowboys. Cowboys laying 3 in Vegas. That's another game that it's on, so we'll watch it. We'll bet it. I think is that the week of Thanksgiving? It might be the week before. I think that's still week before. Thanksgiving's a little later this week, this year, I think on the 27th. So we've still got a little ways to go before Thanksgiving. But good games next week. Lions-Eagles is great. Seahawks-Rams is great. And a decent day of football. I mean, the Jags-Texans game was crazy. Not just because the Texans came back, but for teaser purposes, for closing line purposes, the Jags were down 1, trying to get in field goal range, and it looked like they were going to. They had a penalty. They moved back. They moved back again. And then Lawrence had a pass tipped that was picked off and run back. It lands on 7. The Texans don't kick the extra point because there was no time on the clock. Just a utter shenanigans with how that game played. So we'll see what Gil Alexander thinks. That is next. This is the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Remember, rate, review, subscribe. Seen a few more come in. Appreciate you guys for doing that. And I will get around to putting up another contest this week. Look for that on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. Leave a review on Apple and you will be eligible. Use your phone if you've done one already on your phone. Use your wife or girlfriend's phone or both, and leave a review on Apple, and you will be eligible to win the prize. So coming up, Gil Alexander. That is next. This is the Shoulda Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can catch him, the Beating the Book podcast, the Megapod, a numbers game, all sorts of places at Beating the Book. It is our buddy, the great Gil Alexander. Gil, another Sunday in the books. How's it going, man? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. Shoulda Bet More. I'm not sure I should have bet more today, but I'm not sure that I should have done that. Because, you know, like some worked out, some didn't. And the ones that didn't, you're sort of like, I think about the, we both had the Vikings, you and me. I mean, 8 false starts. Like, what are we talking about? What are we doing? And then really, really bad turnovers by the Vikings too, obviously on a kickoff return, and JJ could just kind of throw the ball downfield. So like some of your losses when you bet these, you're just like, you know, am I supposed to be mad about this? Like, what was I supposed to do?
And you're saying JJ the quarterback, and I thought JJ the receiver, I thought Justin Jefferson, there was a couple plays, like balls in the end zone, 50-50 balls where it's like, man, all right, not that that's a drop or expect you to catch it, but you're Justin Jefferson, you got a young quarterback, kind of expect you to get some of those when you're Justin Jefferson, like considering who they were. But I want to start, we just watched the late slate of the afternoon. And to me, that's the story. And I guess, I mean, it's the Scoregami app on Twitter is broken, but apparently there's never been a 44-22 score, and we got two of them in this late window here. But to me, the pecking order is interesting. The Seahawks, the Lions, the Rams, and then I think you probably have to throw in the two teams on Monday night, and we'll get to that game. I think you probably got to throw in the Eagles just because they're the defending champs and all. They have all that talent. And then maybe one foot in with Green Bay. But how would you sort of, you know, parse here the pecking order in the NFC? Is it all kind of under one umbrella? Is one team ahead of the others? What are your thoughts on the NFC here?
Well, I think you hit on the biggest story of the day is we know who's good now, right? Like, you know, I can't deny it anymore about New England. They go into Tampa Bay and they beat the Bucks. But let's focus on the NFC, as you say before, right? So, yeah, I mean, Seattle, again, they kind of took their foot off the gas, right? Their proverbial foot off the gas. But they came out, you know, if you liked 31-7 in the first half against Washington, enjoy this first half, which I think was it 38-7 at the half, if I'm not mistaken? I have to check. But that's, I mean, yes. You know, it's just 2 weeks in a row where they just crushed the opponent into oblivion. The Rams win over the Niners might have been even more impressive, to be quite honest. Stafford was just unstoppable. That dude is, if there was ever a doubt in some people's minds, not that there should have been, that he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's won his Super Bowl. He's amassed the yardage. He was already a Hall of Famer, but he's just getting, just feels like he's getting better and better. And they just destroyed the Niners, who tried desperately to keep up with him and just could never stop the Rams. So I think, yeah, and I think you're right about the other teams. You have to put the Eagles in because they're the defending champions, so respect on their name. And then the Lions, I mean, did what they're supposed to, crushed a really, you know, I said on the Megapod, name your score, 30s or 40s. You know, Washington's not going to be able to catch up. So I think if you look at that whole playoff picture in the NFC, I think everybody will say Seahawks and Rams in the playoffs, Eagles in the playoffs, Packers and Lions in the playoffs. That's 5 right there. And whoever wins the NFC South is 6. Right now, that looks like Tampa Bay. Not like anybody's really competing with them. So it's really only about one spot. And I think that's probably the Niners because I just don't buy the Bears, who won again somehow. But I think we get it, right? Who's good and who's not now. There's no denying it.
Yeah, I don't think we get a second from the NFC South. I think Minnesota with that loss today, they've got the talent to – I don't know, maybe get to 9 wins. They've gone through somewhat tough part of that schedule, but they're probably not getting in. I'm with you. It's probably the Niners. I guess the Bears are in the mix. I can't really throw Dallas in there. So you're right, though. I think we know probably 6 of the 7 teams. And then that last spot, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And I think the AFC, what we learned again, beyond the Patriots, okay, like they went in on a road game, inclement weather, in to what is should be a playoff team, and beat them. And so there's no denying they are for real. But if you take them and Buffalo, by the way, the Buffalo loss to Miami too, from this is the ghost of Survivor's Past. Buffalo seems to have one of these games every fucking year. Every year they do this, right? We're just like some inexplicable performance where you're like, what? We're supposed to take this team seriously? What are they? Why does this happen to them all the time? So I think in the AFC, just to do that exercise again, Patriots and Bills will make the playoffs from the East. We'll have a winner from the North, which to me kind of looks like the Ravens, right? We said that even when they were, were they 1-5, were they at the time?
Yes.
Colts for sure figured out a way to beat Atlanta, like totally out yarded them, by the way, out total yardage. And then the Broncos and the Chargers and the Chiefs, I guess. So what's that? That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Did I just name all? I think I named them all. So if you that means there will not be a wild card team from the North. So forget you, Pittsburgh. There will not be a Jaguar. That was another thing, Will. Jaguars are just being the Jaguars. How do you lose that game? How do you lose that game? So it's just a lot of the same. And I think we know all the teams in the AFC, and I think we have one question mark in the NFC.
A few things about that. I was doing the Bet Rivers podcast. I think I had just started that. So that would have been like November of 2021. The Bills had one of those games. If you remember, the Jags were terrible at that point. And
That was the game I lost on.
it was like a 9-6 game. And there was just no explanation. The Bills weren't quite the Bills yet, but they were kind of getting there. They made the championship game that year, so they were on their way. That's one where it's just like, man, you just can't explain it. That game today gave me a reminder of kind of vibes of that game.
100%. That was exactly the score, by the way, because I had them in Survivor that day.
And it was just a ridiculous. I mean, the spread was there was no rhyme or reason for it. It was double digit favorite, I think, that day. But it's interesting. We all just assume, all right, Broncos stink. We watch them play. Kansas City's Kansas City. They're gonna be fine. And I know we don't. You're gonna do guessing the lines on Monday, so not to give away lines. And I haven't even looked, so I don't even know what the line is. The Broncos are home against the Chiefs a week from now, November 16th. If the Broncos just win a home game, even though it hasn't been pretty, I mean, look, anyone can win a home game. I know the Chiefs are off a bye, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. That puts the Broncos at 9-2 and the Chiefs at 5-5. So we can sit here and talk about, it's not a beauty contest. 9-2 versus 5-5. You don't get to just flash your Super Bowl rings from
That's
the last
right.
couple of years and say, hey, we're
That's
in the
right.
playoffs. We look better than them. That's kind of a tricky spot here. If Kansas City doesn't win that game, a lot of things that we all kind of take for granted get very dicey in the AFC West and the AFC in general.
That's why we're doing this before the Sunday night football game, but that's why this Sunday night game is so important for the Chargers, right? To win, because they want to have some say in that too. Because if they lose also, then you can almost start to say the same thing about them. The Broncos will have some space. But if the Chargers win, then the Broncos can't even, be comfortable with that. But you're right about the Chiefs. Like, I mean, at some point you're too far back in the loss column with too few games to go, for sure.
The Chargers did beat Denver head to head in LA week 3 or 4. That was pretty early in the season, so keep that in mind for tiebreaker purposes. This doesn't feel right to me. I know you want to give New England their credit, their flowers. Look, I've gotten plenty wrong this NFL season, week to week, game to game. I've never been a real believer in Tampa, the Baker Mayfield MVP, just the Bucs in general. I thought it was kind of fool's gold. So I don't bump them a ton. I don't feel totally different about New England, but I will say this doesn't feel right. Drake May plus 275 short shot for MVP, and I can give you the other guys if you want. Darnold obviously in the mix now. He went down to single digits. He's 10-1. I mean, you can ask me anyone you're interested in. Stafford is 3-1. That's an interesting one. Mahomes 5-1. Wow, Jonathan Taylor is plus 650. I guess I'm asking you, and Josh Allen is down to 7-1. Is there a bet to be made here as I'm rambling?
So I think the Darnold thing didn't really make sense why it was a move today. I think when they got off to the big lead, they had two defensive touchdowns and one super yak touchdown with Cooper Kupp, right?
Right.
So I'm like, why are we going Darnold here? Why is there a move on Darnold? I actually think the most interesting thing is Jonathan Taylor. And I know I have Aaron Schatz on all the time, and he's one of the 50 voters, and he's like, look, I'm just never gonna bet MVP. I'm never gonna vote MVP on anything but a quarterback, because based on his the analytics lens through which he looks at everything, he's like, quarterback is so much more important than every other position that his brain can't get to anybody else. So he'll vote quarterback for MVP, and then best non-quarterback for offensive player of the year. But Jonathan Taylor today, dude, he had, let me get the exact numbers here, three touchdowns from Taylor, and just this, like, ridiculous game where at some point, right, by the way, Aaron Rodgers said to him, did you hear that after the game last week, was it? Where Aaron Rodgers was like, did Pittsburgh play Indianapolis last week? Was that last week?
Yep.
Where he was like, you're the MVP. I don't know, man. Like, at some point, 32 carries for 244 yards. I mean, you're tied for the best record in football at 8-2. At some point, if this is the season where no quarterback has really stood above the fray, and apologies to Drake May, like, you're good, but you're not the MVP at this point against that schedule. And I think Indianapolis, I don't know, Jonathan Taylor's stats could get too gaudy that you can't ignore him for that.
As much as we can sit here and say these quarterbacks could cannibalize each other and Taylor wins it, I'm just going to stay consistent, stick with my guns and say I still don't think a running back is going to win it.
Yeah.
If we're going to do it right now, there is, and you hinted at it earlier, a little bit of a lifetime achievement award thing for Stafford where I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure he ever finished in the top five because his teams didn't win enough in Detroit. Maybe he got a couple token votes or a couple years, like they were a wild card or whatever, but I don't think they ever won the division with him there. So Stafford probably, not only has he not won this award, he hasn't sniffed it. Everyone likes him, good guy, good story, all of those things. If he continues the pace he's at and just everyone kind of goes on their trajectory or their path, I could see Stafford winning, which is not a hot take. He's 3-1. He's almost the short shot, co-short shot with Drake May. But that's one where if they had to vote right now, as great as Taylor was, I still think Stafford would edge him out.
Dude, I think you're right. I think you might be right. I mean, he's got, in terms of, is this through, I want to see, is this up to date? How many games have the Rams played? Have they played the full amount? Or have they played 8?
What's their record? I was just track of this.
Yeah,
and how about all the tackles? We looked that up. How about all summer? Oh, Stafford's back. He's not going to play. He's not going to finish the season.
Yeah.
He's not going to start the season. Some of the stuff, and I'm guilty of it too. I bought into it. I mean, look, a back injury for a quarterback of that age, you think is pretty serious, but it's just funny the things we talk about during the offseason, during the summers when we're kind of looking for content. And the Rams won today to go to 7-2, so they've played 9 games.
Right.
Remember a few years ago, it was like Jamar Chase couldn't catch the new balls in the NFL. I mean, some of the stuff just ends up not aging in the season.
So I don't have Stafford's 9th game. Like, I don't have these stats updated from today's game, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that this will put him in the lead for most yards passing and for passer rating, perhaps. Maybe Drake May has him edged on passer rating. But either way, like, yeah, I mean, at some point, I mean, what's he right now? He was 21 touchdowns against 2 picks headed into today's game. And, you know, it's like at some point, well, I mean, I said that about Lamar Jackson last year and they stole the MVP from him. But somehow I think they'll figure out a way to give it to Stafford. If Matthew Stafford had last year's Lamar Jackson stats, there's no chance they don't give it to him. And he's he's getting there, you know.
And there were things working against Lamar last year, which, I mean, don't really apply to the award. But these voters, we voted for him last year. He didn't do well in the playoffs. We don't want to give it to him again. And none of those things should matter. But I think those things do ultimately matter. I mean, which we saw last year because based on the stats, it was, you know, he probably should have won. And he was better than the year before. Anything else wrapping up today before we look at the Monday night game? Anything wrapping up Sunday that jumped out to you? We mentioned Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. 19-point lead in the fourth quarter to a backup quarterback. And how about if you had action that got cost? One of my buddies, I think, benefited from it. The defensive touchdown, just if anything, illustrates the foolishness sometimes of betting on this league and the frustrating aspect. It was that last touchdown by the Texans on defense. But I don't know. Anything else we missed?
I mean, it was Jalen Carter, right, all over again against the Rams. Was there anything else? No, other than just, you know, just to add to it that these teams, for whatever reason, you know, we always say when we talk about these teams, that 1 year has nothing to do with a previous year, or certainly not 5 years before the whatever. But it is amazing how some of these franchises maintain their same identity. And I'm talking about the Jaguars, right, who can never get out of their own way. What's another team like that? You know, I think that the Bills have the clunker once a year. We talk about them. And I do think that a team like Detroit is ultimately the best team in the NFL, I think. Right? Like, I still feel like in my heart of hearts, they're the best team in the NFL. Though Seattle is is sort of, questioning that notion for me. But right, like Carolina's the most perplexing team. How are they 5-5? Atlanta's on brand every year, right? You're 3-6. Shouldn't you be way better than that? Why do you suck so bad? You know? So I just think that's the more fascinating thing to me. It's like, why do these things stay the same from year to year? And the Giants, by the way, my season win total pre-flop under on the Giants at 5.5, figures out a way to like still be alive. Amazing. Well, yeah.
I'm trying to thread that needle between under 5.5 and dart 22 or 25 to one. I might have both numbers. I think at least 22 to one rookie of the year. Now he got a concussion. He left the game. He did play well before that. If he misses one game, like that's an interesting question. Can he afford to miss a game and still win it? Probably anything more than that, you're hurting himself. But
who's quarterback, taking he's it, bro?
Played well.
Who's taking it?
Great question.
Tyler Warren, probably.
Warren, Ibuka. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's in good shape. The odds are down for that now, probably because of the injury uncertainty, but that's an interesting needle to thread where I was like, I want Dart to play well and the Giants to do well in terms of like Dart winning, but I want them to stay under the 5.5. Obviously, I would trade the Dart for the under, but that's an interesting needle I'm trying to thread there.
The Egbuka scored again today also, right? But the other thing is just, you know, the Plinko nature of this. If you bet the Browns today, you know, we started this by saying we probably close it the same way. We started by saying, if you bet the Vikings and you have 8 false starts on your home field and you have 3 really bad or like 2 or 3 really bad turnovers, what are you supposed to, feel bad about your handicap? I would say the same thing for people who had the Cleveland Browns today. They outgained the Jets 278 to 169. Justin Fields was 6 of 11 for 54 yards, but because they had 2 consecutive a kick return and a punt return back to back for touchdowns, that's the game. Like, that's the thing with some of these games. Like, are you supposed to feel bad if you had Cleveland? I don't know that you should, but you lose.
Yep, no doubt about it. Anything on the Monday night game here? Green Bay, 1.5-point favorite, total 45.5. Green Bay is hosting Philly. Interesting game. Well,
yeah, I mean, I said it about New England also. I said it was a barometer game. I think that's the ultimate NFC barometer game. Like, okay, Philly, if you're really something, you know, let's see it now. In Green Bay, you just have you have 2 bad losses and 1 bad tie. Well, you're going to step now with a better competition. You probably step up. I mean, I don't know. I think it will be an interesting game to sort of, but it's all subject to change, right? But it's at least certainly after that game tomorrow night, we should have a better idea of what either of those teams are.
Who are either of these teams? I mean, right. Philly gets the benefit of the doubt because, we know the talent in Barkley and Brown and Hurts is, you know, obviously an above-average quarterback at the very least. But, I don't know, their stats and their offensive looked weird this year. And you could say the same about Green Bay. So they're both kind of similar in that respect where you look at them in one light and they look a certain way. You look at them in the other light and it's just not pretty. I don't know. Do you feel like you have a grasp of either of these teams?
I think they're both playoff teams, right? But it's also, sure. You know, we usually talk about run differential in baseball. Not that we talk about it really as much in football. But you take a team like the Colts, right? That's 8-2. Their point differential is +115, right? Something like that. You know, Seahawks 7-2, they're +103. The Rams at 7-2 are +98. Well, the Eagles are only +23 at 6-2, right? The Packers are only +40 at 5-2-1. The Bucks are only +14 at 6-3. I know it's not the end-all be-all because that can be really doctored by a game or two, but it does say something, doesn't it, about these teams?
It does. It does. And since you mentioned baseball, I almost forgot to bring it up, but boy, it flew under the radar middle of a Sunday in the NFL. The Emmanuel Clase thing, it's less than a calendar year. He gets voted 3rd Cy Young last year. I think it was the 2024 season. I feel like a guy, allegedly, throwing balls on purpose to make money from betting. I feel like if this happened 20 years ago, it would be like the biggest story in the world, biggest sports story. Yeah. It's just kind of a thumbnail. I know Jeff Passan's tweeting about it, and some of us, our group text, we're swapping texts about it. Don't you feel like this is just like amazing and kind of going under the radar as opposed to how big it should be?
That's a great point. I mean, they could each face 20 years in prison for wire fraud conspiracy, 20 years for, what is this, honest services wire fraud conspiracy. I don't even know what that is. 20 years for money laundering conspiracy, 5 years for conspiracy to influence sporting events by bribery. I'll just get back to the, you know, who knows? I'm no lawyer. I don't know, you know, if those are charges that are made to then reduce to whatever. But I think you're right about what you said. And also, I mean, three-time All-Star, Class A, two-time reliever of the year. Yeah, I just find the irony of all this, and I don't think enough has been made at this point, which is the very legalization of betting, who are so quick to pat themselves on the back for being able to root out these gambling anomalies, both baseball with Clase and Ortiz, basketball with Rozier, and whatever else was going on with Jante Porter before that. But it has to be stated that the very advent of legalization itself, while they're busy patting themselves on the back for rooting out this stuff, the advent of legalization in 2018 itself is what has made this so prolific. In other words, do I think that it was complete null set before that? No. But you can't tell me that the availability and accessibility of it has made this so much more rampant.
And you've brought this up in the past. I think you and I are kind of on the same wavelength. A lot of us are like this, and probably most of the listeners, where someone wants to sit here, they lose a bet, oh, the game was fixed. We just kind of, we snicker at him, we laugh, that guy's an idiot. If someone, we were watching a Cleveland Guardians game a couple years ago, and somebody, you know, at a bar, restaurant is next to us, and, oh, he threw that ball on purpose, he's got money on it. We would have just, I mean, we would be like just laughing in their face. And that's what happened. It's just, it's so hard to believe it. It's really, it's just hard to comprehend.
I said it to Crack the other day. I go, you know, I was always in that, I was all the 100% of like, man, shut up with your fixed and you're rigged and all that. And now, can I say that with blanket confidence anymore? I can't. Like, I have to, if I'm being honest, I have to allow for the possibility, right? Because it's everywhere.
Well, you talked about this on a numbers game, I think, in other places, where you were watching a Cowboys-Giants game. I think it was on a Thursday night last year for something, for some documentary or something. And then Aubrey missed a field goal, and the person next to you goes, oh, the league called it in, told them to miss. And you ask the person to expand on it. How do you think that works? Somebody calls it down to the sideline, and the sideline relays to it. We still don't think that's happening. That's obviously absurd. But what Clase was doing, like the absurdity, it's not that far off from how ridiculous like real life is with some of this stuff. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and the Clase stuff is easy to remove, right? I think like books and leagues can get together and both agree, because books are like, how much handle do we really have on first pitchers and innings, right? Well, fine, we'll get rid of those. Like those are easy to root to remove that little problem. First pitches of an inning, he puts the ball in the dirt. Okay, fine. But all of this other stuff, man, I still say like the Rozier thing, I believe the poker stuff is going to be tough for Chauncey to get out of. That's a whole nother thing. But I think Rozier gets off in the basketball thing because these teams are tanking, right? Openly. Yeah. And so why can't Billups or Rozier simply have said, I mean, I'm just Rozier, Billups can just be like in terms of Billups' involvement with the betting side of things, not the poker's another matter. But on the betting side of things, he can just say, I'll just tell my buddy. I mean, it's not like these reports don't come out then thereafter, right? For everybody to know moments later. And Rozier didn't play like the next four games. So he can has plausible deniability and say, what are you talking about? Like, I was hurt. I didn't play the next three or four games. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know what this guy did with the information. Now, if they have him splitting the money at his house, that might be another whole matter. But I'm just saying, like, the leagues aren't so pristine to begin with. We did a whole damn Tankapalooza thing in 2018, right? It exists based on who they put out on the court. So it's too gray. It's too muddied. And I don't know that you could ever solve this, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And at the end of the day, you know what? We'll talk about it for a couple of days. We'll move on to the next thing. And it's not going to really – we're still going to watch these games. We're still going to bet these games. At least for me, it's something that just kind of the cost of doing business. And it's not like we've really found examples of people fixing games. It's just fixing their prop. If Terry Rozier wants to fix this as his prop, you know what? If you bet that, if you had the over and you lost because of that, that's tough. If you had the under, you want him. And it's just – at the end of the day, I guess it's cost of doing business. I'll end with this. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, now I'm going to sound like those people, except now that all this has happened, you know, a game I can't get out of my mind, that Jets Dolphins Monday night game from earlier this year, where like every call went against the Jets.
That would be one that would look, we can brush aside. All right, Class A's throwing the ball in the dirt to make a little extra money. Why he needs to do that, who knows? Maybe he owed people, maybe just greed, maybe stupidity, maybe some combination. And by the way, I'm sure you saw this. One of the guys on the Dodgers swung at one of the pitch to ruin the bet. So then he had to start throwing them even further in the dirt. Did you see the replay of that?
No, I didn't.
Well, that was on one of the texts. I guess Pablo Torre got the text of somebody goes, hey, are we all set on this? And Class A goes, yeah, we're all set. He throws the ball in the dirt. The guy swings at it, and a guy sends Class a text after the game with some sort of unfortunate like gif or whatever, and Class A does like a sad face emoji or something. So I mean that's kind of the funny irony thing. But what I was gonna say is, refs, if you ever got the refs, we could talk about Rozier props, okay, Class A throwing balls, okay, these are little markets. If we ever had refs fixing games or refs betting games, boy, they survived Donaghy, but that's one where it's just you lose the credibility of the sport if that comes out.
Yeah, and they're the easiest ones to corrupt, right? Because they don't make as much. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do believe the people who says that we're, you know, when people say it's the tip of the iceberg, they're usually referring to we haven't heard as much as there is to be heard. I think it's the tip of the iceberg just in terms of what will come in the future, right? We're going to run into this so many times now.
Yeah, and I wonder if the league would ever, you know, they could, if they got a hold of refs doing this, would they have enough power to intervene and be like, all right, this can't get out. We'll punish you under the table, somehow sweep it under the rug, but this cannot get out. Whatever happens, whoever have to pay off to have this not get out, this can't be public. Do you think Skubal gets traded? I've been asking my guests this. Would you would that trigger a bet for you? Or like, I think the Mets make sense with their prospects, with their need to kind of make a splash from a pitching standpoint, get the bad taste out of last mouth. But is that something you've thought about where he could go and a bet trying to get ahead of that?
No, I haven't. But I'll tell you, Paul Spohr, Detroit Tigers fan, he's always said he thought that Skubal would get traded. Like he thought Skubal, I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but remember that trade deadline last year, not this past year, but the year before where everybody thought Skubal was going to go? He thought he was going to go then. And he kind of understood it too, right? It's like, well, I have a guy, a White Sox employee who listens to the show, the radio side all the time. And he like the resignation that Crochet was going to, you know, leave. And it's just such a weird sport. But no, I haven't thought about getting ahead of a bet because who knows who wins this in the end. Like your Yankees could finally decide, right? Hey, let's spend some money. Yeah, he says.
They'll re-sign Bellinger. They'll do enough. I mean, it's not like they're the Marlins or something, but it's not like they're the Dodgers anymore either. They're just a kind of, all right, we'll spend enough. We'll make the playoffs, and we'll kind of see how it goes. It's not like they just go above and beyond like the Dodgers, who I think will probably sign Kyle Tucker, who just enough is never enough with them, which I admire. Like, you could take the money and put it in your pocket, or you could take the money and put it on the field. They put it in the field, so I commend them for that.
I was watching some of the World Series with Deborah Song, fashion stylist. So she is a Toronto native who was conflicted in the World Series because she loved that the Dodgers are the most Asian team. She is Korean-Canadian, and she's from Toronto, so she loves the Blue Jays. So she's rooting for the Blue Jays. The point of all this is, like, she doesn't know anything really about the details. Like, I had to explain to her on the double play at the end that the Dodgers had actually won. She didn't really get it.
Game's over. You can go to bed.
Games, she didn't really get that a run didn't score. So I explained to her about the payrolls, right? We're so close to the sun. We're such fans. We know all this. But I explained to her, I was like, yeah, baseball doesn't really have an even playing field. I told her, I said, you're allowed to spend as much as you want. You do get a luxury tax, but you're allowed to pay as much as you want. So I said, the Dodgers pay the most on payroll. Your Blue Jays are like fifth or sixth, but it's still like $100 million less than the Dodgers. Dodgers are just in their own league. And this blew her mind. Like, she couldn't believe that this is allowed. And I was like, yeah, no, that's how the sport is structured. I go, and I mentioned you, I go, this is why Will is always crying about the Yankees, because they don't spend money based on how much money they actually have. And so it's just so funny. Like, that's the way the sport is structured. So, like, getting ahead of these moves, I don't know. I guess we can narrow it down to four or five usual suspects, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, right? That kind of stuff. It's not like the Giants roll in and grab these great hitting free agents or anything. So
yeah, and it's just harder to find offense now. Boy, can you imagine if the Dodgers, I mentioned, like, they could get Tucker. Imagine if they trade for Skubal, some of their prospects in Glass.
Are we even playing the season at that point? If they get Skubal, seriously, what are we doing?
I know.
Why are we doing that? I know. Why are we playing 162 games? Just
and
fast
then it's,
forward.
We have one more season, and then I guess it's a new CBA, and that's when all this salary cap stuff will, it might get ugly with the owners wanting a salary cap here.
Oh boy. They're never gonna come to that agreement. Never. Adam Burke, I remember, was already saying, it's gonna be a total lockout. Total lockout. Yeah, coming.
I know. Which is a shame because it feels like the sport's in good health. I thought the World Series had a lot of excitement and juice. I thought the playoffs did. The ratings were incredible compared to like the NBA, which both had Game 7. I think baseball's in a good spot. It's just, I don't know. Don't screw it up, baseball. Just figure it out.
You know, if you know a major league player, they often root for no fanhood, you know, all things being equal. They will root for the team that spends more money because it validates.
Yeah.
That structure, and it may, you know, and it's like, oh, good, it incentivizes team to spend more, which I had never even thought that they would think that way. But like, I've actually seen, oh, they spend more money than that team, so I want them to win because they believe in that for them, right? For their economics, it works the best. I'm on the player side on this. I really am.
Yeah. Gilly, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. A numbers game, beating the book, Megapod. Where else can we find you?
That's it for now. I think that's enough.
All right, man. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Gil Alexander. Thank you guys for listening. See you Wednesday.